Thanks for joining us for this edition of Forward Church Online. Today's podcast was recently recorded at one of our live worship experiences. We hope you enjoy today's message. Now prepare your heart to hear a word from God today.
So I'm driving to Orlando area yesterday for a celebration. By the way, let me just pause that right there for a moment. What's been amazing for me in this journey as a servant of the Lord is one weekend you might be at a celebration for a wedding and the following weekend you're doing funeral service. That's life, ladies and gentlemen. And that happened back-to-back weekends. Last weekend there was a marriage that we did over in the Trenton area. And then this weekend there was a homegoing celebration down in Orlando. So for those of you that know Coach Tony Phillips, lift him up in prayer. His mother is home with the Lord. And since I brought, I think, with clarity last week, my wife said she listened to the message when I wasn't in the car yesterday. She said, "Wow, you sounded tough." I said, "Absolutely." I said, "Just like I protect the schools, I'm going to protect the body of Christ because I have a boss that I have to report to. And I'm going to give an account to the Lord for his word. And so I'm going to be true to God's word at all times, when it's favorable and when it's not favorable." The Bible says in season and out of season, okay, that he expects those who have been called by him. There is a difference between being called by the church and being called by God. And it would be real good for the church, I'm talking about the body of Christ. If I want to say forward, I'll put forward there. But when I say church, I'm talking about the body of Christ. It would be real good for the body of Christ to make sure that whoever is in leadership has been called, set apart by God. Otherwise, you are in for some stuff. Okay? You will be in for some stuff. So I'm driving down towards Orlando yesterday, and I said, "I don't really have anything for tomorrow." Isn't it nice when we tell God what he already knows? I mean, he is the Alpha and Omega, right? The beginning and the end. He's the first and the last. So that means this. He knows tomorrow before you get there. Okay? He's the gatekeeper. He's the way, the truth, and the life, John 14:6, and all of that. So I'm telling God what he already knows. Isn't that cool? Have you ever done that? Tell God things that he already knows about. It's like, "Oh, thank you for reminding me." He already knows. And so I said, "Hey, I don't really have anything for tomorrow." And all the young people understand that. That's why sometimes they like to bring the report cards back in on Monday after Friday and go, "I can't believe I got that grade. Where did that come from?" Well, it could be the result of what you did or didn't do during the 9 weeks. Hello? Hello? And then sometimes, of course, I'm not speaking to anybody here, but it's going out on podcast, so that might be interesting to see what happens this week. And in the defense of the child, they bring their parents. Like, the parents weren't in the classroom. That child knows what they did or didn't do. Come on now. Come on now. And I'm not authorized to really go, "Oh, yeah, you are such an awesome person. I'll move it from a D to an automatic B." Well, I may really like that person. Hopefully I do. I should. I will. But I'm not authorized by the state to change grades. Okay? I mean, and nothing under the table, by the way. That doesn't work. Hello? "Hey, Mr. Weber, Coach, you and your wife can go to..." I can't do anything for you like that. Okay? What am I talking about? You know and I know what we are doing or what we're not doing for the Lord. And your defense attorney had better be Jesus Christ when you stand before the Father. Because none of us as parents or grandparents or whatever we are, we're not going to be able to stand there and go, "Jesus, I'll take a little blood if you'll put that..." Raise my... Come on now. We know how we're living from day to day. So when I asked the Holy Spirit about that, I said, "You know, I really don't have anything for tomorrow. We've been doing a series on being rock solid." How many know that's important in the day in which we're living? To be rock solid. And then my memory reminded me that Billy Graham had put out a lot of messages through the years. So I just took a moment. No one's listening right now, okay, because I like to tell the truth. And I grabbed my phone and I said, "Okay, phone, do this for me." and came up with a message by Billy Graham, because you know it can be boring out there on those roads. And traffic's crazy. No wonder Robin drives 90 miles an hour. She learned it out on 75 and on the turnpike. Some of you really do know that I try to stay around the speed limit, 70, I'll do 74. Man, people were passing me like I was a grandpa, like what in the world? So I slammed it and went up to 80, and they're still passing me 85, 90. I just said, I quit. I just said, I'm not going there. Then I saw those wonderful vehicles dressed in yellow and black, and I said, sick'em. Sick'em. They got me, now you get them. Hello? Right? Look, when we're trying to do the right thing and we see others not doing the right thing, don't we want them to kind of like, come on now, what you got? Come on, that's human nature in all of us. So I was able to get cooperation with my phone, and up came a message by Dr. Billy Graham. And he said, there's three things that you cannot live without. I'm going to give you two of them, and then I'm going to minister God's word on the third one. Oh, this is so boring. He is going to actually speak Billy Graham's message. No, I'm going to take one principle, and I've developed it during the hours of late afternoon and evening, so that this morning you will understand that we are being hoodwinked from school to our cultures to our churches. We really do believe we can live without him. Oh, we do need him for salvation, but then the rest of the way, I got this. But Dr. Vance Havner said many years ago, he will not be another chapter in your book. He gives you a whole new book, and he is the author of that book. Come on, church. I remember hearing Dr. Vance Havner at Tocoa Falls College, and he said this. This was back many years ago. He said this: he is either Lord of all, or he's not Lord at all in your life. That was Dr. Vance Havner. Yeah? And nobody else is going to be able to clap on this one. And he also was from the great state of North Carolina. Give it up, girl. There you go. Dr. Vance Havner was from North Carolina. I think I found her in the mountains of North Carolina. And, of course, Dr. Billy Graham also is from North Carolina. Guess what I said to my wife? Because of the roots that were established in that, hope you're listening, to the in that state, North Carolina's got a big accountability. Just because of two men of God. Whew. See, we really don't believe that there's going to be another report card even after you've graduated from whatever level you went to school or you're in school. There will be a day of accountability. And I'm hoping this doesn't go all the way to North Carolina, but North Carolina has a lot of accountability because of Dr. Billy Graham and Dr. Vance Havner, two mighty men of God. How many of you know that Billy Graham also did studies down here in Florida? Part of his education was in Florida before he transferred up to Wheaton College in Illinois. Okay, so Illinois's got, not only because, help me Holy Spirit, not only because of Billy Graham being in Illinois, but also because of Mr. Elliott, the missionary who sacrificed his life in South America. He also was a graduate of Wheaton College. The End of the Spear, how many have seen the movie The End of the Spear? Oh, wow, really? You should really watch that movie. All right, the sacrifice. So this morning I want to share with you from God's word. I'm going to give you five D's or four D's. None of our students had any D's the last 9 weeks. I don't know. I haven't seen all your report cards. I don't know. But I want to give you four D's this morning for those who feel like I really don't need him. I've got this. Yes, I need him for my passage from this life to the next life, but I really don't need him. But guess what? The Bible's going to show you this morning, and many of our hymns of the faith tell you that you need him moment by moment. You really need Jesus Christ every moment of the day, every second of the day. That's a good place to give the Lord praise, because we do need him. Now, let me show you how we've been hoodwinked before we get into God's word, okay? You ready? Years and years ago, there was a thing called prayer and the Bible in our schools. Prayer and the Bible are not in the school anymore. Now, students can lead prayer or have their Fellowship of Christian Athletes type of devotional. But how it used to be when I was in school, way, way back there, okay? Bible and prayer have been removed, but the program now is positive self-esteem. Let's see how that's working out for us. We have more mental issues in our schools. We have more physical violence in our schools. We have more bullying aggravation issues in our school than we've ever said or seen in our history in this country. Because we believe, since we are highly educated, we don't need him. But listen real close to what God's word has to say. In fact, it was God's son saying it in the Gospel of John. This is going to prep the message this morning. Are you ready? Listen to what Jesus said. Without me, you can do nothing. Would you say with me this morning those simple words? Are you ready? Without me, you can do nothing. Let's go again. Without me, you can do nothing. Last time. Without me, you can do nothing. Let me explain it to you this way, and this is an illustration. This is not a moment of patting on the back. I'm working on a brand new practicum on the program at Southeastern University, and I'm preparing to write a grant for character development. Does anyone believe we need that? I have never put a thought to a grant, let alone how to script it and how to work it, and I'm going to invite Dr. Hall and some others to assist, but I'm working to put, this is not, listen closely, without him, I can't do that. Without Christ, whatever you're doing, you're not going to make it. The enemy will make sure that you don't, especially if you call on the name of the Lord. You need him just like I need him. You need Jesus Christ every day in your life. So we're going to go there in just a moment. We're going to look at some D's that will transform us and help us to recognize that we really need him every moment of our lives. We need Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for these moments. I do want to go back for a moment and thank you for last Sunday. And you really do know my true character, and I'm not a confrontational type person, and I don't like having to face issues that need to be faced. But I thank you for the anointing of the Lord last Sunday to make it very, very clear. There is a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. And there's more to life than just this moment. There is eternity right outside these doors. There is eternity right beyond my next breath. And there is the reality that Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he lives to make intercession for us. So I thank you for last Sunday, and I pray that we will remember the importance of being strong and true to the Word of God. I pray this morning, just for these few moments around your Word, that you will help me to make this very practical, down to earth, to where we understand the importance of being rock solid in you. In Jesus' name, God's people said, amen. So the title of the message is very simple, Without Him. I want to open up with a story about an individual who grew up in the church. His name is Milan Lefevre. Milan Lefevre grew up in the church. Just because you grow up in it doesn't mean you're going to stay in it. And Milan didn't stay in it. Milan got out in the world. He got into the big rock and roll scene. He was real big with Elvis Presley. And then, you know, when you go out there, anything's available. Be careful before you walk away. Be careful and really evaluate and assess, do I know where this is going to take me? I said to my son the other day, we were having a brief discussion one way, of course. I said, you have the power of choice, but I hold the power of consequences. That's not being arrogant. It's the same thing with my Heavenly Father. I have the power of choice down here, but he holds the power of consequences. Everyone say with me this morning, Achan, not your back. An individual in the Old Testament. I'll be talking about that D in just a few moments. We really do need to understand everybody has the power. Like, you have the power of choice to shut this down right now and just sit there. But you also have to understand, you and I do not have the control mechanisms over the consequences of hearing God's word and not heeding God's word. Do you know that when you hear God's word and you don't heed God's word, your heart grows harder? I heard one time, I'll get back to Milan, I heard one time an individual say to me, "Are you ready for your first D?" "Well, Pastor," this was way back in the Carolinas, "well, Pastor, I'm not coming back to church because I know I'm drifting. And I know that if I continue to come under the sound of the word of God, my heart's going to get that much harder. And until I'm done drifting, I don't need to sit in the house of the Lord." He was honest with himself. Oh, by the way, he's no longer drifting, because God got a hold of his heart. Okay? Boy, it's a dangerous thing for those of us that grew up around snow. You start drifting in a snow situation and you'll bank that car real quick, or truck. Okay? So we're going to be talking about drifting in just a few moments. So Milan Lefevre got out there. When he got out there, he went way out there. And he'll be here next week along with good friend Aaron is going to be with us from Williston, who played at South Florida. They do a great job. They're a part of this character development. And it's going to be called The Love Letter. And it's not going to be preaching or teaching like this. We're actually going to be setting up here. And at the end of the service next week, everyone gets to write a letter to themselves. A love letter of how you feel about you. Because listen, if you don't love you, you ain't got nothing to give. You can't give. Until you love you, you can't love others. You can't, that's not possible. You have to love. And that's why, husbands, the Bible says that we as men are to love our wives as Christ loves the church. So if you don't know Christ's love, there's no way you're going to love that lady. You might have sex with her. That's called lust. That's going, whoo, I didn't think I'd get an amen there. Because I was a teenager once. I know the power of lust. And so Almond's been sharing at the middle school and high school here and also throughout the county, there are, watch these young people, they know the answer to this. Otherwise, it's lower than a D. There are two things that will always remain undefeated. Young people, what are they? Drugs and alcohol. Great job. They have never been defeated. I just had a parent tell me the other day about an individual that they know that totaled their vehicle because they were under the influence of alcohol. I'd rather be under the influence of the Holy Spirit. I'm not going to violate my wife. I'm not going to violate anybody else. I'm not going to act like I'm the big cheese. See, there are many ministries will tell you you need to come to Christ, but you need to stay in Christ and crucify the flesh every day. That would be Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Would you say with me this morning, without him, I can do nothing. John 15:5 says, yes, I am the vine. This is Jesus speaking. You are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. So you better stick with it. You better stay in it. You better stay in Christ, for apart from me, you can do nothing. Here's several quotes that I'd like to open up with, and then we're going to be moving. The first D is drifting. If you drift here, it's just a matter of time. You're going to be drifting right here, because your feet are going to take you where your head dominates you. That won't be on the board. I hope somebody got that. Your feet will take you where your head dominates you. That's why the Bible says that we are to captivate every thought and bring it into obedience to Jesus Christ. The game's all played up here. Not talking about sports. I'm talking about life. You play right here, you're going to play right out here. Oh, church, I am not going to drift, especially at my age.
Well, brother, there's no way you could drift. You're so old, you could did it.
Really? Here's a couple quotes for you this morning. The nearer Christ comes to a heart, the more it becomes conscious of its guilt. It will then either ask for his mercy and find peace, or else it will turn against him because it's not yet ready to give up its sinfulness. Whew. Dr. C.H. Spurgeon, great man of God from England, said this, "You may think you can live fine without Christ, but you cannot afford to die without him." Thank you, Dr. Spurgeon. Life without Christ begins, by the way, these principles, because I got to make sure you don't, because I don't cheat, as in I find somebody else's message and then I preach their message. I don't do that. I can't stand leftovers. Why would I preach somebody else's word? I want to make sure it's God's word through my heart to me for you. Okay? That's got to be from God's heart for us. So here's the first D. Life without Christ brings drifting. Hebrews 2:1, listen closely. We must pay the most careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard so that we do not drift away. Drifting away is a dangerous, dangerous thing. That's what happened to Milan Lefevre. Oh, by the way, he's all the way back. God found him. God went through all the mountains, all the valleys, all the crooks and crannies, and he found Milan because Milan had a mother that would not quit praying. I just chuckled because I remember how much my mother used to pray for me when I was a senior in high school, and I worked all night at a factory and went to school all day. I just got to take a time out. I don't get these kids who can't come to school, and they don't do a thing all day, and they ain't working all night, and they can't get to school on time. If I wasn't a Christian and if I was in a different audience, I'd say, what the are you thinking? Ladies and gentlemen, as a senior in high school, I held an all full-time job from 11 to 7 all night. Got off, went to school all day, came home at 3 o'clock, went to bed, got up at 10 o'clock, back on the job at 11 o'clock. We are in a culture shift, and we are in trouble, and it's not the kids' fault. We're letting our kids drift because we're not balanced. We all want to talk about God is love, God is love. Wait till you hear what God did to Achan. God also has another side to him. Oh, we don't want to hear about that. Parents, be balanced. Coaches, be balanced. Administrators, be balanced. Teachers, be balanced. Why? So people don't drift because of you. I found this quote last night, and I want to share it with you. I had an old pastor, this individual said, who would tell me, warning comes before destruction. So there's just a little warning this morning. If you're starting to drift, check yourself. If it's been a whole week that you've not been in God's word, get back to the word. Let me explain to you this way. He challenges me and checks me every time when I say, Jesus, I love you. And he'll go, I haven't seen you in the word in the last day. You can't say that. If you love him, you show him. Hello? Hello? If you're an A student, show it. Amen. Amen. If you're late to school, you're going to be late to work. If you don't have excellence in the classroom, you're not going to be excellent at the job. And you're going to blame it on somebody but you. Step out of the Garden of Eden. Somebody should go, go, Pastor. You're bringing the heat. Bringing the heat. I don't want to drift. Rick Warren put it this way. The greatest tragedy is not death, but life without a purpose. I have a purpose in my heart. I am not going to drift. I'm not going to drift in my walk with Jesus Christ. And I refuse to drift in my marriage. I refuse to drift. I know she's been married to me 50 years. I understand that. But I am not going to drift. Okay, not 50. She's only 41. You know that's not true. 64? All right. Don't drift. Don't drift. Please don't drift. Don't drift. I remember back many years ago when we first came here, there used to be a lot of swimming out at the various parks and Heart Springs and all those places. And they had it kind of roped off where you could go and where you shouldn't go. Go where you may in the spirit, but don't go where God says, you know when God's trying to get your attention. Please don't drift. Let's move on. That's what happened to Milan. He started drifting, though he was raised in a good home and a godly church. He began to drift because the world is calling all of us. Hello. Life without Christ brings dependency. That's the second D. And that's what happened to Milan. He got way out there, into the drugs and into the alcohol, all of it. But his wife stayed faithful to him and to God. She also prayed, and Milan came home. Turn to somebody and say, come home. You may be speaking to a person who really needed to hear that. Come home. Come home. I heard Dr. Vance Havner at Toccoa Falls College, and these are not in my notes, but they're in my heart. He said this to us in a chapel service. He said, make sure you get home before dark. What does that mean? Before your lights go out, like Coach Tony's mother's lights went out, make sure you get home. Home is heaven. Home is heaven in your heart. There's no do-over. I don't care what ESPN says or provides. You're not going to get to have a playback. God, give me just 10 seconds and I'll name your name over everything. Late. Let me speak to this real quick about dependency. Are you ready? There are some of us who have bought into procrastination. Let me share this to you as I shared to Joshua. Bless his heart. I don't know why he stays in this ministry. Well, right now, it's not an option out. Procrastination leads to destruction. Procrastination leads to destruction. When you procrastinate today, you are putting more work on Monday. Glory. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. 2 Corinthians 10:3, 4, and 5. For though we walk in the flesh, we are not waging war against the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. Now listen, we destroy arguments and every lofty opinion. There's that self-esteem stuff. Raised against the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive to obey Christ. I'm just going to go ahead and say it. It doesn't bother me one iota. Joshua has a professor right now at Central Florida who's open to anything and everything. I don't want my son to be open to everything. I want everything to be brought under the knowledge of God. And if it doesn't fit under the knowledge of God, bank it and throw it out. Man, there is so much destruction going on in education. Let me read that last part. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion. Can I tell you what an opinion is? Everybody has one. Never mind, I won't say the rest. I'm not in the locker room. I wish I was in the locker room. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God and take every thought captive to obey Christ. I want to invite you to do that. It'll break dependency. And there's all kinds of ways that we get into addictions. Listen to this great quote. And we're halfway through. Addiction isn't about substance. You aren't addicted to the substance. You are addicted to the alteration of mood that the substance brings. Absolutely. 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 Ask the Holy Spirit to come and to invade every area of your heart, every area of your emotions, every area of your mind, and ask him to help you to make everything work for his honor and glory and submit to the name of Jesus Christ. Yes. Yes. All right, our last two, because my wife is waiting for us by video. Life without Christ causes us to drift. And when you start drifting, you start depending on other things. Come on, church. I can see how the Lord's put this together. Number three, life without Christ brings defeat. The story is Joshua chapter 7 and verse 1 only that I'm going to bring to our attention today. But the sons of Israel acted unfaithfully in regard to the things under the ban. There are things that God's banned out of your life. Why are you bringing them back? He's speaking to me too right now. Hello. Let me read that again. But the sons of Israel acted unfaithfully in regards to the things under the ban. And what did Achan do? You know what Achan did. After they had defeated the enemy, Achan went, and he was told not to do it. Achan went and he took things that did not belong to him. And he put it in his tent. Let's look at the final consequence of that. He lost his life. His children lost their lives. His wife lost her life. All the cattle were taken and killed. Everything about Achan was removed. How do you like God now? See, that's where the church has gone way off kilter. Everybody wants to hear about God is love, God is love, God is love. Yes, he is. But love has a balance. Like, I'm going to put up with so much with Joshua, then after that, game on. Same thing. God's going to show me mercy and mercy and mercy. And if I will not repent, game on. I've challenged the authority of God's word. Young people, stop challenging your parents. Watch. Why did I say that? Because you challenge teachers in the classroom. Where do you think that starts? At home. When you challenge your parents at home and give them hell and raise your hind end up all the time at the house, you're going to do the same thing at school and then blame it on the teachers or the administration. Woo, it's hot in here. Woo, it's hot in here. Can you imagine if churches were to really bring God's word like this morning? It could absolutely change the culture. Let me say it one more time. Young people, stop bucking authority in the home. God's put your family together for your benefit. Last one. Well, that was the quietest part of the whole message. Unless you like to live in defeat, I encourage you to be faithful. Even if you disagree with your parents, be faithful. God will honor you and correct your parents. Did I have to say that? Don't remind me of that, Joshua, please. He will. Let me say that again. Young people, continue to be faithful to your parents. And if mom and dad are wrong, Josh, if mom and dad are wrong, he will correct us. And he has all kind of means of doing that. You know what? We don't even fear God anymore. You know why? Because there's not a whole lot of wisdom out there. The beginning of wisdom is to fear God. If you want to change that word, put the word respect. We don't even respect him anymore. Like, man, I got away with that. You didn't get away with nothing. What you talking about? I got away with that. Really? Whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. So if I'm being a butthead to my son, our last one in the house, God will take care of that. Hello? God will deal with me. But if I'm doing the right thing and he is being unfaithful to the boundaries set, God's going to deal with him. Parents, set the boundaries. Raise the standard. Demand excellence. Well, thank God I got. Oh, baby, go ahead on, girl, right here. Oh, baby, I'm in love with you. All right, last one. She's buying lunch today. That slipped. I mean, because you clapped, I want to give you an awesome lunch. Peanut butter and jelly today. Are you good with that? All right, let's go back over them real quick. We're almost finished. Mylon's coming up. Title of the message is Without Him. Everything in our system is teaching our children you can do it on your own. You're a self-made man. Just believe in you. Come on, church. When we have that attitude, we're going to drift. We're going to become dependent. We're going to become defeated. And then he begins to throw out the hook, line, and sinker. And you know that once you're defeated, death is right around the corner. Listen closely. Life without Christ brings death. Listen closely, please. James was the half-brother of Jesus. Listen, this shook me up when I put this together last night. When lust, do you remember me saying that earlier? If you're just out having sex, that's not love, that's lust. I mean, that's what animals do. Woo! But let me be a professor. We are all animals. Let's talk about how we all came here. I'll get out of here. Fill your own head. Mine's full of God. Hello, church. We do. We honor people who have knowledge but no wisdom and no fear for God. Here we go. James chapter 1 verse 15 says, when lust has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And when sin is accomplished, it brings forth death. Now, listen, lust has a lot more to say than just sex. I mean, you've got everything you want, and now all of a sudden you find your neighbor has something that you want, and all of a sudden lust is loose. And you go out and get what your neighbor has, so you let them know, I got what you got. I got your junk. But when that has been conceived, now sin begins to, And then when sin has accomplished its work, now comes death. Oh, by the way, there's a lot of dead people walking around. They just haven't hit the grave yet. Y'all listening this morning? So when we talk about death, I'm not talking about the literal passing from this life into eternity, i.e. Coach Phillips's mother who went to heaven. I'm talking about death to marriages, death to relationships, death to your education. I had a kid come up to me the other day and they said, man, I can't wait for it to happen down here like Michigan and a few other states. I said, what are you talking about? Marijuana. Every student who's ever been endowed with marijuana, I have not seen them do well academically. Lord Jesus, I'm talking about death. I'm not talking about actually dying, but dead on the inside. Listen closely. Death can come at any age. Listen closely. But the pride of life fools a person into thinking that day is far away. So guess what trumps all of my D's? Pride. Pride. Get him ready, please. Pride. Pride. What does pride do? Pride causes me to drift. Pride causes me to drift. Pride causes me not to open up my heart and share with my wife, who can really be my counselor. The Holy Spirit dwells in her. So I don't go to her. I go and I buy things. Certainly not water. Or I take things. Or there's all kinds of things. But this is the body of Christ. And we've got to be open to people who are dependent on those things so that those addictions can be broken. But pride will also tell you, as it told Achan,
all you got to do is hide it.
Nobody knows you got it in your tent. You ought to read all of Joshua 7. But see, if there is a God, and there is, then there must be messengers, prophets, apostles, and the word came, Achan. The reason things are going south for Israel is because of one man. Whew. God took care of Achan. That's a little unnerving for me. And then what does my pride do? It doesn't just bring defeat. It brings me to where I'm a dead man walking. I think there's a TV show out there. I've never watched it. I'm not going to watch it, or a movie. Dead Man Walking, or Walking Dead Man, or some stupid thing like that. You're not. Sorry, I don't want to stay that current. I'm getting ready to go home. I don't mean right now. I'm getting ready to go home. Home isn't where I live. It's where I'm stationed. This isn't home. Home is heaven. I'm not going out of here dead, going, well, he finally, bless God. In fact, he actually looks better now than he did when he was walking as a dead man. I'm not going to tell that story. I actually heard a person say that in the presence of a person in a casket. Wow, they really look good. Whew, I shudder. Okay. Sometimes it's best, if you don't know what to say, don't say anything. God had some things to say to us this morning, didn't he? And he said this to us this morning from his word, God's word. Without me, you can do nothing. If you don't believe it, prepare to drift. Without me, you can do nothing. If you don't believe it, expect dependency. Watch this. I've got a few moments. God didn't bring Robin and I together in covenant to where she is totally dependent upon me and I'm dependent upon her. Together, we're dependent upon him. Don't use your spouse. Oh, I got to stop teaching. Without me, you can do nothing. If you don't believe it, expect defeat. I don't know where he is. Call Aiken and see how that worked out for him. I'm not the final judge, but I certainly don't want to go his route. I'm not taking anything that doesn't belong to me. And if God says, get your hands off of it, watch this. The Lord brought Robin and I here, but we don't own this ministry. We're not in charge of this ministry. And when the Lord says, release this ministry, that's exactly what we have to do. Oh, but God, I didn't. You don't want to hear that junk? Keep that baby junk out of there. Watch this. This might be his grandmother, but she don't own this little boy. That's a gift from the Lord. See, intellectually we can understand that, but experientially we reject that. That's my grandchild. Get your hands off my child. And then last but not least, without me you can do nothing. When pride steps in, it'll bring death. And that's why his name being Lucifer was kicked out of heaven, because there is no death in heaven. And he was bloated with pride. And so he had to go. And out the pearly gates he went. Because pride in the kingdom, oh church, come on, brings defeat. Let me go backwards. If I'm a proud, arrogant man and there's no humility, for those of you that are dating or interested in a covenant, check this out. If I'm proud and arrogant in my marriage, we're going to experience defeat. We're going to end up going out and becoming dependent on other things. Come on, church. We're going to have a lot of defeat, and then eventually she and I will begin to drift. All because of one word. I'd never saw it in the message till right at this point. Pride. And pride always leads to a fall. Shall we pray? Father, I thank you, first of all, for the Holy Spirit allowing me to say to you yesterday, I don't have anything for tomorrow. And I didn't. Until you once again reminded me of one of your servants. And I thank you for Dr. Billy Graham. Thank you for his legacy. Thank you for his life. And I thank you that you have been speaking to my heart. Boy, you can't do one thing without me. Where you are today is a result of who I am in you. Get that right. And I agree with you. Without you, I am absolutely nothing. And I can't do one thing without you. I thank you that on our scorecard and on our final grade, there'll be no D's. This is a house of people that will never drift. They will not become dependent on the things of this world. They will not walk in defeat, and they will not taste death to their soul in this life. I thank you. I ask that you would seal your word to each of our hearts, starting with me. And I agree with you, and so do your people. Without you, we can do nothing. We need you. We need you desperately. May parents raise the bar, set the standard, create the boundaries. May our young people, though they may not always see it, may they always show respect and honor and be faithful to their home life. I ask this for your honor and glory. Thank you for bringing Milan Lefevre all the way back. Thank you. And what a testimony he has been. Father, may we enjoy just these brief moments of that great song without him. In Jesus' name, God's people said, amen. Let's get ready for that, Joshua. I'll give you a thumbs up like I do on the campus. He messes with me all the time because I do this. If there's something that you need to just lay down before the Lord this morning, while Milan is ministering, feel comfortable just to come and stand in his presence. I'm not going to bug you. I'm not going to say anything. You and the Lord. But I want you to really listen to only 3 minutes. We're in great shape. And I'd like for us to really take in a life that's been changed. Milan Lefevre, out of the world, into the kingdom by God's word, without him.
and without him I truly fail, and without him
wondering, and I'm not going to hold you. No one's going to be able to walk out of here going, if this is my last day, I never heard. Yes, you have. You have heard. If the message didn't make sense, Mylon did. I just want to make sure that you're ready to meet Christ. One of the worst things to do as a minister of the gospel is to have a celebration. I don't call them celebrations at that point. To have a funeral service for someone who didn't know where they were going. It's the most difficult thing to do as a minister of the gospel. If you're here this morning and you'd say, hey, Pastor, Dennis, whatever, I do not know him. I really don't know him. Oh, I know church, but I don't really know him. That's only the one side of the coin. I don't even have any change on me. Jesus is going to say that. He's going to say this. Depart from me, I never knew you. There are many that know him, but he doesn't know them. So I'm going to close with this. Is there anyone here that would say, I'm not sure if he knows me, but I'm not walking out that door without knowing him? Is there anyone? This is not a time of going, this is an opportunity just to make sure that everyone here is ready. Because you do not know. I don't know. I may never make it to the office tomorrow. He could call me home like Charles Strickland. Just like that. Charles was fine. Went to the ball game on Friday night in Newberry. Saturday morning, he was home. Please do not say you're in charge of your final stride and step And I'm responsible to the Lord. If there's anyone, let's bow our head and close our eyes. If there's anyone who would just say, hey, Dennis, would you just remember me in prayer? I won't bother you. I won't come to you. I'll just remember you in prayer. Because I know what it's like to sit in an audience. I know what it's like if someone's trying to drum up something. I'm not that type of a pastor, that type of a speaker. I'm not trying to create anything. I just want to make sure that you've signed and it's sealed and it's delivered and your name is in the Lamb's Book of Life. Anyone that would just hit out, eyes closed, just say, hey, will you just remember me? I got you. Anybody else? I got you. I got you. No, he's got you. Meaning I saw you. He's got you. Good. He got you. Anybody else? Okay. Let's pray. Get ready for a good lunch. I'm sorry, Lord. I don't have any of them. You do. I'm sorry. You have them. They were created in your image. They're your special possession. You love them. And you proved it at the cross. For those hands that went up and the heads that were bowed and to show respect across the house, I thank you. Those hands that went up, now I ask that you would just, in your own special way, would you go to their side? Would you go to their heart? Would you minister to their conscience? And would you show them that you are the way, the truth, and the life? Thank you. Thank you. We give you the honor and the glory. May everyone who raised their hand be able to walk out going, oh yeah. Oh yeah. While he was praying, he was touching my heart. He was touching my life. Oh yeah. I'm his. Across the house, let's just say a prayer together, can we? And now I'll get you out of here. Repeat after me, entire body of Christ and those that have raised their hands, would you please? Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. This morning, we confess our sins to you. We confess our need of you. We invite you to come into our hearts, come into my heart, and create a new creation. Lord, do that in my life. Just a moment, church. Father, create in me a new creation as we come down the stretch of the school year. Create a newness within me, Lord. Father, thank you. Come on, church. Father, thank you for forgiving me of all my sins. I receive your Son into my life. Thank you that my name is added to the Lamb's Book of Life. I receive eternal life this day. I'm ready for what you have in store for me. Seal to my heart your word. We love you, Father, and we thank you for this day. Thank you for this time together. I pray that you will bless every person in this house. Keep them safe, protected, and I plead the blood of Jesus Christ over their lives, over their future. May their steps be ordered of the Lord. And God's people said, amen. Have a great day. The Lord bless you. Thanks for being here today. The Lord bless.
Thanks for tuning in to this edition of Forward Church Online. At Forward, we believe that God speaks to each one of us individually, directing our lives and giving us focus. It is our desire that you would experience Christ and pursue His purpose for your life. One of the easiest ways to draw close to God is by connecting with the local church. Get started today by visiting myforwardchurch.org to find out all the ways that you can give, serve, and grow.